I got a Christmas present on a Christmas morning. My back was out. So that's why the stool's here. It's still not quite functioning the way I want to, so I might end up sitting on a stool for a while. And then I'll really have a hard time preaching to you all. Well, maybe I can swivel. Too bad it wasn't one of those swivel kind of stools. Let's stand together, and we're going to read the Word of God. And maybe you need to shake, get your blood flowing a little bit. Maybe shake someone's hand. All right. Reading from Joshua. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not get near it. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Before we start really getting into the message today, which is titled Not Passed This Way Before, I want you to notice in your bulletin that we have scripture readings. And we will have scripture readings. It will start on Tuesday. And we'll have scripture readings all throughout the year 2018, one chapter a day, Monday through Friday, as a church. And we can read these. So you can find maybe 10 minutes in the morning, or 10 minutes in the evening, or 5 minutes, however long. It doesn't take very long to read a chapter, or maybe during your lunch break. And if you don't make it on Monday or Tuesday and you miss, you can always make it up on Saturday and Sunday. So I wanted to point that out. There's nothing I wanted to point out here. Both my daughters got me Yeti coffee cups, this size. They know how much I need coffee in the morning. And my oldest daughter, who's, I've been her pastor most of the time. Yeah, you know, we lived in the St. Louis area, which has 2.5 million people, and she chooses to come to my church. So I've been her pastor. I don't know, I wouldn't want my father to be my pastor, but she gave me this one. It says, Pastor Gene on this side, and it says, Help, I'm preaching and I can't shut up. You know, my grandchildren are always imitating that commercial. I'm falling and I can't get up. I don't know how many times I heard that yesterday when they were wrestling in my living room and I was stepping on Legos. But today we're going to talk about the next year coming up. We've not passed that way before. Many of God's people throughout history have gone into the invisible future, not knowing what to expect, not knowing what God has in store. And we do not know what God has in store for us in the year 2018. We're walking into the unknown, and it can be scary. The first thing I want to point out today is this. For all practical purposes, last year's behind you. And there's nothing you can go back to. There's nothing that we can go back to last year. We can't undo a single action that we did in the year 2017. You can't take back a single word. There's nothing back there. In 1519, that was just a few centuries ago, there was a Spanish explorer whose name is Cortez. I don't know how many of you like history. You may already know this story. But he led an expedition of 600 men into southern Mexico to conquer it. He had 12 ships. One by one, those ships were being sunk until 11 of them were sunk and only one was left. The men started yelling and complaining and, we want to get out of here. How did you lead us into this? And this is what he said to his men. He said, what kind of man needs a ship except cowards? And then the cheering of go forward was louder than the complaints. He said, if any man was so cowardly, he could board the last ship and leave. And none of them got on the ship. And so he said, let's sink that ship. Let's sink it now. So that last ship was sunk. Cortez committed himself and his army to either succeed or die trying, for they had nothing to go back to. And we have nothing to go back to in the year 2017. Sink your last ship and move forward with God into the new year, 2018. I'm not the kind of person, and probably you're not either, that likes to make resolutions, because we don't usually keep them. It's usually like, I'm going to lose weight, and then we don't, we get discouraged. Let's take one day at a time, because the scripture says there's enough trouble in one day that we should only live one day at a time. Yes, we make our plans, but we walk by faith every day that we live. I say to us today, let's fight forward into the year 2018. Are you ready to fight forward into the year 2018? There's nothing to go back to in 2017. Cherish the sweet memories of the past, but fight forward in faith to each day of the future year that's ahead of us.
Amen.
Before you and me is a new year full of hope and promise, if that's what we desire. And I don't know about you, but I desire it. I was here earlier today and I was praying, Lord, make the year 2018 a year of restoration, a year of refreshing, a year of revival, a year of reconciliation, a year of where you restore what the locusts have eaten, a year of prosperity, a year of success, a year that we will look forward to, a year where we would cheer Jesus Christ on and praise Him like we never did before, a year where we will take a stand for Jesus and be committed to Him longer and better than we ever have before. May that new year be to all of us as one as this church here at Cameron Memorial. The next thing I'd like us to talk about as we go into the next year is this. This next year can be the best year of your life if you really want it to be. If the year 2018 could talk to you and me, this is what it would say. I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. In me lies the potential of all that you dreamed but didn't dare do, that all you hoped but didn't perform, and all you prayed but did not experience. I am the new year. I like that. I want the new year to be better than the year 2017. How about you?
Amen.
I want to see God do the miraculous in the year 2018. That's why we're going to be reading scripture together as a church. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about our prayer initiative, Breakthrough Prayer Initiative, that if you want to join that, you can do that too. We see God do great things when we surrender to Him and we submit to Him and we commit to Him. The third thing I'd like us to talk about as we go into this new year is this. You've not passed this way before, so follow God. We don't know what's going to happen in the new year. We don't know what lies ahead for us. Here they were, the children of God. Moses had died. So after days of mourning for Moses, the people of God had prepared to cross the Jordan River, which was at flood stage, because on the other side, God had promised them this land of their own, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that is great. But they had to go in by faith. It was an unseen place they'd never been before. And when we read in the scripture this morning, the Levites were carrying that ark. And it said, don't get too close to that ark. Remember it says, say so many cubits or yards away from that ark? Because that ark represents the presence of God back then to them. And as the priest went to that Jordan River that was at flood stage, they probably wondered, God, do you know what you're doing? Before the waters would move back and they could cross, the priest had to step their foot in as they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as they took that step of faith into the flooding river, the waters calmed down and went down, and they crossed into the promises of God that lay before them. That's what God wants to do for us in 2018. You see, a place that they had never seen, a place that they had never been before, God promises them that he'll be with them in the unseen and the invisible and bring them into the promised land. They were told to keep that ark in view because it was a sign of God's presence. What is in the ark? Do you remember what's in the ark? The first thing that was in there was Aaron's rod that budded. That represents the miraculous power of God. Are we going to go into 2018 believing the miraculous power of God is leading us? That a God that can do anything, nothing's too hard for him. Are we going to follow that God? The other thing that was in the ark was the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, which represents God's word. So they were following God's word as they were going into the promised land, as they were going into the invisible future, the unseen. They were following God's word. Then the third thing that was in that ark is the pot of manna. You remember that? That represents God's providence and provision. So as they were following that ark, they were following not only God's miraculous power, not only were they following God's word, but they were following God knowing that he would provide when they got to the other side. Because they didn't have any land over there. They didn't have any houses over there. They didn't have any jobs over there. They didn't have anything over there. They had never even seen the land before. And that's really the way it is for us in the future. We can make our plans. But sometimes God moves us in a different direction. All these people of God that crossed the Jordan River showed God's presence was with them. God's presence is with us as we go into 2018. God's miraculous Savior Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead and has defeated hell and has defeated death and has defeated sin, is going before us. Let's keep our eyes on him as we move into the new year. The one who does miracles, the one who multiplied food for the thousands of people, the one who raised the dead and healed the sick. Follow him in the year 2018. Jesus, the Word of God, made flesh, creator of the universe. Let's follow him into the new year. Jesus, the bread of life, who gives us strength and gives us provision. Let's follow him into the new year. Let's make Jesus first. Amen? Let's not just compartmentalize. Church and Jesus are just one compartment of our life. You know, there's work over here, there's school over here, there's family over here, there's vacation over here, there's this over here, and we sort of compartmentalize. And the first thing that we need to do is we need to take all those compartments and put them into one big compartment that says Jesus Christ. Jesus first.
Amen.
Follow Jesus into the new year. The fourth thing I'd like to talk to you about today, all of us, as we go into the new year, is Moses said this, learn to number your days. In other words, we need goals upon which to focus our lives. If you ask an airline pilot his next destination, he will tell you in one sentence where it is, right? Usually. But can you imagine being on a plane, and this happens, the pilot gets on, and he announces this. There's no cause for alarm, but we felt you should know that for the past 3 hours, we've been flying without aid of radio, compass, radar, or navigational beam. In the broad sense, I suppose you could say that we're lost. However, On the bright side of the picture, I'm sure you'll all be interested to know that we're making excellent time. Let's not be like that pilot. Let's not go into the next year just fumbling around, making good time, going nowhere, making no goals, not reaching anything, not finding any success in our relationships, not finding any success in our world or in our life at all. Our long-range goal is heaven, but how are we going to get there? We have to make goals to get there. How will I achieve my goals? What if you want to be a better parent? Write down your goals. How am I going to show my kids my values, my priorities? Write it down. How are you going to do that? How am I going to spend time with each and every one of my children and give them that special time? I'm sorry, Jake, but you've got a big responsibility there. And all the rest of you that have four or more children, right? How am I going to show them that I care and I'm there for them? Write down those goals. Another thing, what if you want to be a better spouse? You won't be a better spouse unless you write down the things that you're going to change in your life. That your spouse has been telling you to do all along, but you're too stubborn to do it because they're the ones telling you to do it, right? So instead, write down the goals and say, I'm going to listen more, guys. I'm not going to complain as much, ladies. Write them down. Here's another one. Do you want to be a better student of the Bible? Well, you've got to figure out how many hours a week are you going to spend studying the Bible. Now, if you start off and say, I'm going to do 10, you're unrealistic. Let me slap you silly, okay? If you want to do hardcore Bible study, I mean, not just reading your Bible every day like what we're going to be doing, but I mean actual study time, start with an hour and a half or 2 hours a week. And then figure out what translations of the Bible you want to read. What history books that pertain to the Bible you want to read. What commentaries on the Bible are you going to get? What Bible atlases are you going to get? What am I going to purchase in order to study God's Word in a deeper way? Now some of you say, well, I don't have time. Oh, yeah. We have all the time in the world, but our priority has to be Jesus Christ and His presence in our life. Amen. As we go into the future, into every new day. Someone wrote this, I don't know how much I agree with it, but they said, without goals, a man or a woman comes to the end of their life only to discover his life can be summarized by 20 years of sleeping, 5 years of dressing and shaving, 3 years waiting, 6 years watching television, 1 year on the phone, and 4 months tying your shoes. That's why I always wear shoes that don't have laces. I don't want to waste 4 months. That's all that comes out of our life. What have we, how have we touched the world around us? How have we touched people around us? The last thing I want us to talk about today as we go into the new year is to do this. This will help us in a really good way. Follow others who are journeying into uncharted territory. Hebrews 11 is a chapter of faith. It's known as the Hall of Faith when it comes to people that are people of faith. First of all, read about Noah. What it says in chapter 11 of Noah, it says this, it starts off, it says, by faith, Noah. Notice it doesn't say his name first. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, because they had not seen rain yet, they'd never seen a flood, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. How about Abraham? In that same chapter, it says, by faith, Abraham. Notice that phrase again, by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're going into the new year by faith, but we have to have faith in someone or something. How many people have ever said this to you? And it drives me nuts. They go, Well, you just got to have faith. You heard that statement before? Well, faith in what? Just got to have faith. You got to have faith in something. And the faith that we directed to is in Jesus Christ. He's paved the way for us. He will lead us by the Holy Spirit and by His Word. So it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Wow. Then there's Moses. By faith, there's that statement again. By faith, Moses left Egypt. Man, that must have been hard. Because that's where they had all their food. That's where they had their houses. By faith, he led millions out of security, even though they were slaves. But was leading them out to a place where they didn't know how they would have food. Led them out into the desert, really. He left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, the Pharaoh's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. We need to see him who is invisible. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to see Him working in our lives. And the more we spend time with Him, the more we will see Him. And He will guide us down each week that we live in this new year. What do these people all have in common? Faith. Faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is totally impossible to believe God. So how do we get faith? How do we get more? First of all, the Bible says God has given to every man or every person a measure of faith. No one's without excuse. Everybody has been given a measure of faith. How do we grow that faith? How do we exercise that faith? How do we make that faith stronger? How do we make that faith so that we can walk into the future and not be afraid, and not fearful? Well, it says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So hearing me preach today should help you, but it also means this, reading this and hearing from God. When you read your Bible, the Word of God, it comes alive. These are not like regular words in a regular book. These are spirit and truth. These will transform and change you. These will speak to your innermost being. This part, this Bible, will come to life and it will change you from the inside out. It's not like any other book. These are eternal words. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So we have a challenge before us as we go into the new year. Starting Tuesday, we could all start reading the same chapter in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Save your bulletin. If you don't have it, well, borrow somebody. If you don't have it, call the office. We'll get you that scripture somehow. So remember to keep your bulletin. And remember on Tuesday to start in fresh. Hearing the Word of God. And hearing from God because you're reading His Word. One of the things I like to do, I'm just going to say this in closing, is when I read the scripture, I usually read a chapter a day for my devotions. And I like to move around. I do Old Testament, maybe Psalms and Proverbs the next day. Then the next day I might do one of the Gospels like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the next day I might do a chapter in the epistles like maybe 1st and 2nd Timothy. Another time, another day, I'll do a chapter in Revelation and move it around. Or you may just want to try to read the Bible all the way straight through. I don't do that. I don't want you to raise your hand out of pride. This is not a pride thing. But how many of you have read the Bible all the way through? At least once. Good. That's great. That's a higher percentage than most churches, believe it or not. But I'm going to say, just like my pastor used to say to all of us, He said, how can you believe something you've never read? Woo! That cuts to the chase, doesn't it? Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by knowing this word. Faith comes from studying this word. And you can be a world changer. When God gets a hold of you, he'll start speaking to you as he takes you into the great unknown, places that you've never been before. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words that were spoken today take root deep in our spirits, deep in our hearts, and grow strong as we move into the great unknown, into the future. We ask it in the name that's above every other name, the name of your great Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.